geht? Der Linksnet-Podcast.
Welcome to the Linksnet Podcast. This time we have a special episode, in my opinion. I'm Pavel, and this time we will speak in English because we have a guest, Sergei Movchan from Solidarity Collectives Network from Ukraine, that we already hosted more than 1 year ago on the panel discussion about the situation in the Ukraine and about the Russian imperialism. Sergei, maybe you want to introduce yourself and tell something about Solidarity Collectives Network.
Hello, Pavel. Hello, Pavel. Hello, everyone who can hear us now. My name is Sergei Movchan. I'm from Ukraine. I'm a left activist close to the anarchist movement. I became left activist many years ago. I used to work as a journalist as well. I also was connected to far-right violence monitoring project, but after the start of full-scale invasion, I became full-time volunteer, and that's what I'm doing last 2 years. So our collective, which called Solidarity Collectives, it's a volunteer group, anti-authoritarian volunteer network, and our task number one, it's to support anti-authoritarian soldiers who now defending our country against Russian imperialism, against Russian invasion. Now we're supporting more than 60 people, permanently supporting, and occasionally, of course, much more. And it's our task number one. Our second task, it's a humanitarian work. So we're helping people close to the border, close to the front line. There is a lot of people whose life was ruined because of this war. They have literally nothing. Their house is destroyed. So they lose everything they had. And it's a very important task for us to help these people. Our third task is to talk, to speak with you, to explain our position today, to explain our perspective of Ukrainian anti-authoritarians, why in this war we decided not to step aside but be fully involved, and why we see this war as an imperialistic war, and why we think that to be anti-authoritarian, to be anti-fascist means actively participate in, means fight against Russian imperialism. And our new activity, which we didn't have last year when we met, it's production of FPV drones. This year we started to assemble drones. It's essential for Ukrainian army, for Ukrainian resistance, because of lack of ammunition, because of a shortage of general global support, and with a lack of artillery ammunition, the FPV drones became the very important weapon of this war, and the construction of FPV drones became quite like people's work, and we also involved in this work. We make them and provide them to our comrades, to our FPV pilots. So this is a first and also quite important part of our work.
Thank you for this introduction, and it's very impressive to hear that you are doing a regular drone production. Maybe we will talk about it also later, but first I would like to maybe ask you, as a member of the collective, how are your days? How was your day like? How is your life going right now, almost after more than 2 years after invasion? What changed, and how the work in the collectives is influencing your life?
Of course, from the first months of the war, situation changed. And if during first days we were in a bunker, we was absolutely lost. We didn't know what to do. We knew nothing about military things. We didn't know what needs, for example, of the soldiers. Everything was absolutely new for us. And we were like full of stress. Today, after 2 years, it became more like a routine. And My day, my every of my day, it's quite routine work. It's more about communication, carrying the boxes. I receive boxes on the post. I send boxes on the post. I talk with people, got some messages from the soldiers, got some messengers from the comrades. Now I'm a full-time volunteer and mostly I don't do nothing else except this work. So yeah, it looks like ordinary work, but with no money and fully concentrated on helping fighters and helping people in the front territories.
You mentioned already that you focus now a lot on the production of drones, and this is also a little bit connected to my question, what is the focus in the collective work right now? So you talked me a little bit about the drones, and you mentioned that there is a lack of ammunition and lack of support from abroad. And this is my another question, so they kind of connect together. What is the tendency? Of course, I guess there was this wave of enthusiasm maybe in the beginning after the invasion for solidarity with Ukraine. What is the tendency now and what do you need except the ammunition? How do you see or how do you assess the international solidarity? What do you get, what you don't get? Are there many volunteers coming from abroad? What is your work when it comes to the Western media or Western organizations?
Okay, let's separate this question. First of all, I can tell you that we are like focused on drones. We still have a lot of another work. And our first task is to support our comrade. Always the task number one. It's our main budget comes to these guys and girls. It remains our main focus. Drone production, it's our new thing for us. And it's not a factory, you know, it's not a production line. It's just a few people who learned how to do this, who work with like soldering machine and do like few pieces. We're only on the first stage of this process, but we already have some experience. We already sent some drones to our comrades, and we even could start teaching people how to do this. And sometimes people came to us also to get the skills, because these skills could be useful in case of mobilization or even in future. We also have a laptop with a drone simulator where people could learn how to operate the drones. But again, it's our not primary tasks. It's, I will say, secondary, and we're in the beginning of this path. But yes, the drones became every day became more and more important. And this importance of drones came not from the good life, because as you mentioned, we have the big problem with global support of Ukraine. Fortunately, USA at last, they will give this package of help of they will send the weapons they promised. Without it, the situation was really very quite difficult on the front line. Now I hope it will be at least a little bit better. But without this ammunition, the drones became the thing we can protect ourselves. It's a cheap solution with what you can give. You can have some good results. But of course, it's not the ultimate weapon. Both sides now learn how to operate drones. Both sides use anti-drones warfare. It's like a war of sword and shield. Both sides tries to invent something new. So our comrade said that today it's a war of nerds, because everyone trying to invent something to be like more effective. And yes, we also trying to participate in it and trying to help as we can. But yes, in general, I could agree that the lack of support costs lives, costs not only, you know, square kilometers of territories, it costs lives. And a few days ago, we had 1 year when three our comrades, international fighters, died. Then we had another anniversary of another our good comrade, Ukrainian good comrade, died. So it cost lives, and without like big support without of Western countries, the situation will be even more difficult than it's today. And unfortunately, I can tell you that now we're like full of enthusiasm. Situation is difficult. It's a reality.
Thank you, and I'm very sorry about the loss. And it's put it really well into words, saying that the lack of solidarity and support means lost lives. I also see on your website how you commemorate comrades, and it's really impressive. Thank you for this. It's really, really impressive, and it's a powerful message for everybody around the world, and especially in the Western countries that have a possibility to support. Maybe coming to another question. Actually, it's two questions, maybe again at once, to maybe have two perspectives on it. The first one is about the atmosphere within the leftist, within the activists, and generally the atmosphere in the society, if there is disillusionment or tiredness. And the second question would be if there are some new initiatives or changes that motivate you, motivate people, motivate volunteers to join. Maybe you could answer this.
It's a difficult question, because I should admit that today atmosphere is not like a year or 2 years ago. There is a lot of contradictions inside Ukrainian society today. The main contradiction, of course, it's that people who fighting all these 2 years, they got tired, of course, and they really want to be demobilized and have some rest. At the same time, the army has lack of manpower, that has lack of people who wants to join, who wants to be mobilized. And yeah, it's true that if at the beginning we had a big lines to the military offices of people who wants to be volunteer, who wanted to fight, today there is almost like it's not so many people who wants to join voluntarily, and the mobilization faced some kind of resistance from the society. So that here we have contradiction. The army needs more people, but many people don't want to go to the army. So we have not only lack of ammunition, but also a lack of people. It's a huge problem. It's a serious problem. There is could be many things to do how to solve it. It's not very easy task. Now we had a new law which regulates mobilization, but you know, the problem is that no one's satisfied after this law was implemented. From one side, there is no limits for mobilization term. So soldiers, they still don't know when they could be demobilized, when they could be free. And from the another side, now people afraid again that they will be caught in the streets and mobilized against their will. So the tensions inside Ukrainian society became quite serious. But what's still motivate, mostly it's not a positive things, it's mostly negative things. We know that's alternative much worse. It's maybe one of the main thing. And of course, we see what happened where Russian army came. Nothing, literally. All towns and cities occupied by Russian army in the last half of a year, it's a ruins. So more or less, we understand that we know what for what exactly we are fighting for, and that what move us forward, and that's give us some energy and power to continue resistance, because we see what happened if Russian army will succeed.
And are there any initiatives or new organizations or new ideas that are now happening in Ukraine, or something that is like moving people or is being like specifically discussed?
There is some new initiatives, for example, for protecting of rights of soldiers. There is some initiatives which give help, mental help for recovering of the soldiers, to protect their rights for proper treatment. And yeah, there is such kind of initiatives now appear. At the same time, some volunteer organizations disappeared, because again, the interest goes down, the support goes down. So if at the beginning there was full of volunteer groups, now not all of them survive these 2 years. So in this case, I think that even that we still exist, even that we are continue to work and continue to support our comrades, it's a big achievement of our group. But many groups continue to operate, and we are continue to work with some feminist groups, with groups who give help to the animals, for example. By the way, it's also part of our work. So we're all the time, we are going to humanitarian mission. We're trying to take some animal food with us because many people take care of animals, of dogs and cats in this pre-front territory. So it's also part of our work. And there is many organizations in Ukraine which support not only people, but animals too.
It's very impressive to see how diverse is the network of support for soldiers, for animals, for LGBT soldiers, and for international soldiers. It's really impressive how progressive the whole network of support is. Last time when we talked, you mentioned that German or German politics or German left is people see how it's trapped in its own paradoxes when it comes to solidarity with Ukraine. Do people still follow what's happening in German politics? People are still surprised or disillusioned about it. What's your impression on this?
Yeah, it's quite hard for me to tell about people in general. Yes, they follow German politics in general. And I think now they're more satisfied than it was in the beginning, because German politics, this was very, very slow. They very slowly get the point that Ukraine needs support. But at last, they realized it. And it's good. And I think that now, in general, people in Ukraine, they think a little bit better. The impression of the German politics is a little bit better than it were in the beginning when we got some helmets.
Yeah, the legendary helmets.
Yeah, the legendary helmets. Exactly. Now it's better, I think. But of course, especially people who's more involved in the politics, who really follow, who are trying to dig more deeply, they see that there is still no support from mostly from German leftists of supplying weapons to Ukraine. And for example, if we speak about Die Linke, yes, they have this split. There's Sarah, the most crazy person. She has a new party, she has a new politics, but even after this, mostly people from Die Linke, they, of course, they said, we are against Putin, we're against war, but the solution, it's still quite wrong and quite blind as for me. So they're still not ready to support Ukraine as we need. They are not still not ready to give weapons to Ukraine. And that's what exactly we need here now. Like, it's like essential request for us. And of course, people here, they see it, and it's question number one for them. If you're not ready to arm Ukraine, it's hard to see friends in such kind of people. And so not, of course, not only about Germany. We see the same story in France, in many other countries like Spain. Unfortunately, yes, people stuck in their dogmas, and they continue to see USA as a main threat, as a main enemy, and they don't see the enemy like next door to them, very, very close. I'm not underestimate the power of global imperialism, but if you see the absolutely real threat near you, how you can close your eyes on it and continue to repeat the same dogmas you repeated for many, many years, for decades. Please, like, open your eyes, see the reality. It's not our choice, you know. Of course, for me, it also will be much easier to sit in the cafe and criticize NATO. But unfortunately, we have to learn how to make drones. It's unfortunately, but it's a reality. And without exception of the new reality, you can't build like real solidarity.
Thank you for saying this. I think it's really important. And yes, we in Die Linke are pretty happy that Sarah is in another organization right now. And we see it also like a chance. As a last question, maybe I don't want to input any toxic positivity, but maybe you are tired with such a questions. But I think it's also very important. What is your vision for free Ukraine or for freedom? And what plans or visions make you keep on going on in conversation also in the collectives or with your friends?
Of course, I don't have, you know, some easy solutions. I don't have some bright story for you here. Even in the best case for Ukraine, we will not have left paradise here. We will have a competition of the ideas, competition of different divisions of Ukraine. Of course, we have a strong nationalism, nationalistic organizations. Many of them have their own military structures, but we also have something for today. We have our own soldiers who are ready to represent our ideas. Not only we as like anarchist leftists, we have LGBT soldiers, we have feminists who are fighting, and all of them will represent these ideas. All of them will contribute social capital in promoting of the progressive ideas. So in future, we will have a big competition, big fight. And that's what the politic means. Because, of course, under Russia, we will have only repressions, nothing else, no competition, only Putinism. So our fight today, it's to keep this field of opportunities, to keep the possibility even to fight each other, but not Russian army, you know, in the fight of ideologies, the fight of the visions of future Ukraine. And it's good when you have this field of politics, field of opportunities. It will not be easy. I'm pretty sure that when the war will finish, in our next conversation, I will tell you a lot of shit which is going on in Ukraine, for sure, about neoliberalism, about far-right, about many other things. But this conversation at least will be possible. And our fight, our resistance against all these negative tendencies will be possible. And that's exactly what we are going to do after the end of this war. For this, to have this option, to have this opportunity, we should survive, we should keep free Ukraine for this. And in this free Ukraine, of course, we will fight for all progressive things you like, I like, and all your subscribers like. And I hope we will do it together again as a part of the global network of people who share our ideas. But without Ukraine, in a captured Ukraine, in occupied Ukraine, there is no place for all this.
I think it's a very important message, especially for those who are repeating the propaganda that you were telling about, that this distinction, this difference between Putinism and world when you can do politics in a discussion, in the competition, is the crucial difference. Thank you, Sergei, so much for meeting me today in your how important and how busy work. I hope to see you soon and talk to you soon to keep us updated. And all the subscribers or the listeners, I ask to donate to Solidarity Collectives. You will find the link below. Solidarity Collectives, Sergei, thank you so much. Dziękuję. Do zobaczenia.
Thank you, Paweł.